Alrighty, 126. Let's stand for our final hymn prior to the message tonight. There is a fountain, and we're so thankful for it. 126, and we'll sing the first, third, and fourth. Thank you, Lord. Piano sounds good. Seated, church. Good singing for a Wednesday night. And let's grab our Bibles at this time. We shall sing again. Folks, let's go to the book of Psalms tonight as we continue trudging along through Psalm 119. And what a ball I've been having preparing these messages for Wednesday nights, because as I told you when we started in week one, that this study was going to be such a blessing to all of us, because this psalm is all about the Word of God and how we grow to love it more and more each day. Well, tonight, exposition of Psalm 119 will cover verses 57 through 64. Remain seated and let's go to verse number 57, Cheth. Thou art my portion, O Lord. I have said that I would keep thy words. I entreated thy favor with my whole heart. Be merciful unto me according to thy word. I thought on my ways and turned my feet unto thy testimonies. I made haste and delayed not to keep thy commandments. The bands of the wicked have robbed me, but I have not forgotten thy law. At midnight I will rise to give thanks unto thee because of thy righteous judgments. I am a companion of all them that fear thee and of them that keep thy precepts. The earth, O Lord, is full of thy mercy. Teach me thy statutes. Father in heaven, how we thank you for Cheth tonight, this incredible section of the glorious Psalm 119, and how we thank you for the truths that are couched in these verses. We pray that your Holy Spirit would enlighten our eyes tonight of our understanding and show us glorious, wondrous things out of thy law And we'll thank you ahead of time for it in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. All right, beloved. Tonight, we come to the Hebrew letter Chaf. And David continues to glorify God for his precious word throughout. In these verses, we learn a number of things. First, tonight, notice the character of the godly. In verse 57, we have the character of the godly. David writes, "Thou art my portion, O Lord. I have said that I would keep thy words." Now, two specific things are mentioned here in verse 57 concerning the divine character of all those who are godly. First, that he or she makes the presence of God his or her joy and delight. Look at verse 57. David says, "Thou, Lord, art my portion. Thou art my portion, O Lord." Now, folks, listen. Most people place their happiness in the wealth and pleasures of this world. They make the things of this life their portion. But listen, those that are godly and sanctified by God's Spirit make the Lord Jesus the portion of their prized treasure. And nothing less than him will satisfy us. David could say, "Lord, thou knowest that I have chosen thee as my portion in life. And only thou makest me happy." When it comes right down to it, church, think about it. What really can make your happy, your soul happy? And that is Jesus Christ. When we find Jesus Christ, we find the reason for life. We find the purpose of our existence. We find that which is worth living for, Jesus Christ. The Hebrew word for portion here is shelek. It literally means possession, part, share, or inheritance. It's something that cannot be taken from you. He's saying, "Lord, you are my possession. You are my portion. You are my inheritance. You are my part in life." Every true Christian can say this because it's true. Go to Psalm 16. And hold your place, of course. We're coming right back. In Psalm 16, David again. I love Psalm 16, especially verse 11. In Psalm 16:11. Look with me at verse 5. David says, "The Lord is the portion of mine inheritance and of my cup. Thou maintainest my lot." He's saying, God is my reason for living. God is my all in all, the Lord. And that's why I've got joy, joy, joy like a river. Amen. Go with me to Psalm 73, a psalm of Asaph. He wrote some good ones too. In Psalm 73, look with me at verse 26. Asaph says, verse 25, "Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire beside thee, Lord. My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever." Asaph says, you know what? God is my portion, not only for this life, but forevermore. I've got him forevermore. Isn't that a beautiful thought? We have God forever, folks. We've got something to be joyful for. Psalm 142. Whoever gets there first, read us verse 5. 142, verse 5.
"I cried unto thee, O Lord, I said, thou art my refuge and my portion in the land of the living."
Notice David is speaking of his temporary life on earth, the land of the living. And he says, he cried unto the Lord. Sometimes we cry unto the Lord in prayer with strong supplications and crying. And he says, attend unto my cry, verse 6. And he will. He knew that God would. But in verse 5, he says, "Lord, thou art my refuge." That's a hiding place. Safe from the storms of this world in him. "Thou my refuge and my portion in the land of the living." I'm so glad that he became my portion on October 3rd in 1986. I am so thankful because my entire life radically changed. Amen. It's true of every believer. But secondly tonight, back in our text in Psalm 119, God's presence his joy. Secondly, he speaks concerning the divine character of the godly. Look at it. In verse 57. He says, "Thou art my portion, O Lord. I have said that I would keep thy words." Here we find that the word of God is his rule, his guide, his director. Indeed, people, the character of all those that make God their portion in this life will also make God's word their rule in this life. See, it's not enough to just say, "Oh, I love Jesus. Jesus is my portion." There has to be a corresponding walk of obedience. Amen? Now, I'm not saying you're going to walk in sinless perfection. We won't get that till we get up to heaven with a glorified body. We will mess up. But the daily tenor of our lives, amen, the general direction of our course is one of sanctification and walking with God in obedience. And where and when we do mess up, we immediately confess that and repent of that. Amen? Because we want to be right with him. So he says, "Lord," look at it, verse 57, "I have said that I would keep thy words." Notice how the will is involved. You have to make intention of your actions. Now, here, God's word became the rule of his life. Now listen, it is imperative that we swear allegiance to our God and to his will. Where can we find his will? Oh, I'm so glad you asked. Right here in this book. Amen. The word of God is the will of God for every one of us. And I'm so glad that we've got it in black and white. He's made it so easy for us. He's so wonderful. Ecclesiastes chapter 5. Go past Psalms, past Proverbs, prior to Isaiah, you'll find the book of Ecclesiastes. And go to chapter 5. David, what did he say there in verse 57? "I have said that I will keep thy words, O Lord." He said it with his mouth, right? Now look in chapter 5 of Ecclesiastes. Look at verse 2. "Be not rash with thy mouth, and let not thine heart be hasty to utter anything before God. For God is in heaven, and thou upon earth. Therefore let thy words be few." He's saying, be careful what you promise God, because he's listening. And he expects a follow-through. Look with me at verse number 4. "When thou vowest a vow unto God, defer not to pay it, for he hath no pleasure in fools. Pay that which thou hast vowed. Better is it that thou shouldest not vow, than that thou shouldest vow and not pay." When you tell God you're going to do something, follow through. Don't make excuses. Verse 6. "Suffer not thy mouth to cause thy flesh to sin." We can sin with what we say by not performing it. "Neither say thou before the angel." Notice that when you say anything, an angel is listening and recording that. Everything. They're with us always, 24/7. "Say not thou before the angel that it was an error. Wherefore should God be angry at thy voice and destroy the work of thine hands?" Now, he's simply saying here, it's good to make vows before the Lord, but you've got to be serious about it, you know? God is not some jack-in-the-box that you pull out when you need him and stuff back in when you don't. God is serious, and he expects us to do what we promise to do. Go with me to Psalm 119 again, and look at it. "Thou art my portion, O Lord. I have said that I would keep thy words." And David did. He was an obedient, he was a faithful man. He loved the Lord, and so we must too. Secondly, tonight, that was the first thing, the character of the godly. They make God their portion. Second, they keep his word. Amen. But secondly tonight, notice David's petition before God. Verse 58. "I entreated thy favor with my whole heart. Be merciful unto me according to thy word." Now, in David's prayer petition, as I like to call it, he utters three things in this verse before God. Three things we must know. First of all, notice what he prayed for. Verse 58. "I entreated thy favor, Lord." I entreated or prayed for thy favor. I sought thy favor. Beloved, listen to me. If you have the divine favor of God on your life, you have everything you need for time and eternity. He favors you. He won't abandon you. And he'll take care of you all the days of your life, and receive you to glory. Listen to me, there's only two types of people in the world. Those who are favored by God, and those who are not. God cannot favor another person's child, because that child doesn't belong to God. Belongs to another master. You see? So David says, I've made you my portion. Now I seek your favor. Your favor. Listen now. The Hebrew word for favor, panayim. Panayim literally means face or presence. I seek your face and presence, Lord. Your favor. That's his favor. When his face is shining on you, he'll take care of every little issue in your life, won't he? Because he's God. He's unlimited in what he can do. Go to Ruth quickly. Go to Ruth chapter 2. Ruth was in a bad state. And she needed favor from Boaz, the kinsman redeemer. And just before Samuel, you'll find the little book of Ruth, just after Judges. And go with me to Ruth chapter number 2. Look at this incredible verse here. Between Ruth, Ruth was a Moabite. Ruth was a Gentile. She was not Jewish. And yet, she came to a Jewish man named Boaz to be favored. Look, and he does. Watch. Verse 13. Verse 10. She fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground and said unto him, Boaz, why have I found grace in thine eyes, that thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing I am a stranger? She says, I'm not even Jewish. And Boaz answered and said unto her, it hath fully been showed me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thine husband, and how thou hast left thy father and thy mother and the land of thy nativity, and art come unto a people which thou knewest not heretofore. 12. The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. Then she said, let me find what?
Favor.
Favor in thy sight, my Lord. Small L means master. For that she worked for him. For that thou hast comforted me. For that thou hast spoken friendly unto thine handmaid, though I be not like unto one of thine handmaids. Ruth is a type of the body of Christ, the church. She comes to the kinsman redeemer and he says, I'll take care of you. I'll supply your needs. I'll love you and I'll marry you. And he did. Folks, the picture here. I taught a series when I was pastoring my son's church in Maine years ago on the book of Ruth, expositionally, verse by verse, all five chapters, four chapters. Wow, great stuff. I may go through that. This book of Ruth is so rich. It is so chock full of spiritual truth for the church today. It's amazing. But what did she seek? She sought his favor. Go with me to Psalm 5. And she received his favor by seeking it. See, it has to be sought. It doesn't come automatically. It doesn't come by accident. One must seek it in order to find it. One wants Jesus Christ and his forgiveness. I told those Muslims on Facebook, I said, you've got to want redemption from sin. You've got to want it, forgiveness of all sin, and you can have it. And I gave every single one of them a link to our website. Plan of Salvation right there, boom. Chapter 5, Psalms 5. Look with me at verse 12. David says, for thou, Lord, wilt bless the righteous with what?
Favor.
Favor wilt thou compass him as with a shield. Now notice here, he doesn't just have a little bit of favor from God. He says, it's compassing me. That's something that a compass all around, you know, it's all around me. Wherever I go, the favor of God goes with me. Oh, that's so beautiful. Nowhere I go in this world am I outside of the favor of God, because I belong to him. Secondly, in his prayer petition before God, not only what he prayed for, but observe how he prayed it. Verse 58, Psalm 119. Look at verse 58. Notice how he prayed it. I entreated thy favor with my whole heart. Folks, you know, it's amazing to me. As I was preparing this last night, I said, Lord, you know, I could do one verse a week in this psalm. There's so much in each verse. And it's true, but we'd be here for years going through that psalm. But look at this. Notice how he prayed with my whole heart. You know what God wants? He wants your whole heart. I'm here to tell you tonight. It's my responsibility to tell you, Christian, that God wants your whole heart. He doesn't want a half-hearted Christian service. He wants all of it. He doesn't want a divided heart where, you know, you come here on Sunday and then you go and you're in the world the rest of the week and you have these other things in your heart. He wants to have your whole heart every day, wherever you are. Sister Sarah, she's at the bank there and she's counting money and locking up the safe and doing her duties and watching over the tellers. She's in charge, right? But her heart belongs to Jesus. Amen? That's how we must operate. We're at work, we're at Walmart, wherever we are. He wants our whole heart. And David said, that's how I entreated his favor, with my whole heart. And I found it, and I got it. Glory to God. Now, here, church, we clearly learn how we're supposed to pray before the Lord, with our whole heart. You know, sometimes we pray, and we don't mean it. It's like we don't believe that God's hearing us. Yeah, Lord, and I pray, oh, I know, Lord, this person is an impossible situation. Nothing is impossible with God. Who are you praying to? Think about it. Now, folks, listen. He prayed with his whole heart. Someone read us verse 2. Psalm 119. Verse 2.
Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with the whole heart.
Seeking him must be wholeheartedly. Verse 10, someone.
With my whole heart have I sought thee, O let me not wander from thy commandments.
Glory to God. Notice the seeking with the whole heart. 145, someone. Oh, it's a good one.
I cried with my whole heart, hear me, O Lord, I will keep thy statutes.
Notice what David couples together with his prayer request. First, he's praying with his whole heart, and God would hear him. But then he couples it with a promise of obedience. I will keep thy statutes. See, David just didn't just want a favor from God and then he's going to go his own way and live like the devil. No, he says, I'm going to live for you, Lord, for your glory. Amen? Thirdly, in his prayer petition, not only did he show us what he prayed for, not only did he show us how he prayed for, but thirdly, observe what he based his request on. Verse 58, I entreated thy favor. With my whole heart, be merciful unto me, according to thy word. According to thy word. Now, there's a verse in 1 John chapter 5, down around verse 16, it says, and we know that whatsoever we shall ask of him, he heareth us. But then it says, according to his will. Some Christians think that they have a blank check to order up a $68 million jet to fly around the country and play golf with their preacher buddies. No! It says, if you ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. You see the difference? It has to be according to his will. How can we know his will? So glad you asked. Right here in this book. Amen? This book is full of the will of God, the word of God. Now, he says, according to thy word, Lord, answer this prayer request. And brethren, clearly our request before God must be based upon that which he promises in his word, not what you feel like. This is indeed praying according to the will of God when it's according to his word. Look at verse 41. Someone read that. Verse 41. Aha! According to thy word, let thy salvation... See, it's God's will for all people to be saved. Though they won't, it is according to his word. The will must be involved. Thirdly tonight, quickly, observe David's threefold formula for walking in obedience to God. Verses 59 and 60. It's a threefold formula. Verse 59, I thought of my ways and turned my feet unto thy testimonies. I made haste and delayed not to keep thy commandments. Now, it's an incredible little sermon couched in these two verses. And it's a formula, a threefold formula, for walking in obedience to God's will. Amen? First of all, notice here in verse 59, David considered his failures. Amen? Look at verse 59. David says, I thought on my ways and turned my feet. Folks, we all fail. But you know what we got to do? Don't sweep it under a rug and try to hide it. Confess it. Say, Lord, that was wrong. I shouldn't have said that. I shouldn't have thought that. I shouldn't have looked at that. Whatever it might be. I thought on my ways and turned my feet. Why? Because my way was wrong. You know what? God doesn't want sinless perfection from you. He wants honesty. That's all he wants. So when we mess up, we have to have a readiness to revenge that disobedience. How? By thinking on my ways and realizing, hey, that's wrong. That's not according to God's word and God's will. So first of all, he considered his failures. Now, the first step to a life of obedience and consecration to God is found in self-reflection and honest soul-searching in order to reveal what might be amiss. I love it. Sister Val called me yesterday and she said, Pastor, I need to know, do I need to ask the Lord forgiveness for this particular situation? I said, what is it? And she explained the situation to me and I said, absolutely not. You told the truth. You can't repent of telling the truth, you know. But what does that show? So she has a tender heart that she doesn't want anything amiss between her soul and the Lord. Amen? That's good stuff. I love when somebody says something like that because I know that that Christian is serious. They want to be right with God. And Gabe says, I considered my failures here. I thought on my ways and I turned my feet. I turned my feet. Luke 15. Hold your place again. We're coming back. Luke chapter 15. You know the story of the prodigal son. Wasted his substance with riotous living. He went off in the world and lived, partied it up. Had a good old time until the money ran out. Look at me in Luke chapter number 15. Chapter 15. And look with me at, let's see here. Go with me to verse 15. Luke 15, 15. And when he, prodigal son, went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, he got broke. He sent him into his fields to feed his swine. He says, oh, you got no money? You don't have two nickels to rub together? Go out with the pigs in the pig pen and feed them. So you know what happens when you go into a pig pen? You get what? Begins with a D. Dirty! Dave knows because he's a country boy. Amen? When you have a pig pen, you have mud. Pigs love mud. They love to roll around in it. And he ends up in the pig pen. Sound familiar? How many Christians end up here and they have to wake up? They have to think on their ways. And when he would have fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, he was sharing the corn nuts with the pigs. And no man gave unto him. The world is a cruel place. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? You know what he's doing? He's thinking on his ways. He's considering where he is and what he's doing. This is the first step to coming back to God. He says, I know, I will arise, verse 18, and go to my father. That's a good thing to do. Go home where you belong, boy. You never should have left him in the first place. Look at it. And I'll say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. Aha! Considering his ways. Considering his ways, which were wrong. And he's confessing it to his father. Amen? Need not to read anymore. You see clearly what he's doing there. David said he considered his failures first. But secondly, in this threefold formula, not only did he consider his failures, he turned his feet to God's word. Amen? This denotes action, not just thought. Now look with me here in verse 59. I thought on my ways and turned my feet unto Oprah. Dr. Phil? No. Thy testimonies, Lord. Thy word. Now listen carefully. Notice here that we not only need to turn our eyes to God's word, but also our feet, indicating the path we're walking in. Action. Matthew Henry said, I love Matthew Henry commentaries, penitent reflections must produce pious resolutions. Penitent reflections must produce pious resolutions. Amen? I love that. That's a great, great quote. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Hold your place in Psalms. In 1 Thessalonians, look with me at chapter 1. Paul had founded the church at Thessalonica. And look what he says about them. It's a beautiful compliment. In 1 Thessalonians, look with me at chapter number 1. And look with me at verse number 9. For they themselves of Macedonia show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you. How successful it was. and how ye turn to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. He says, you made a great change. The Lord came in, and you turned from your idols to the living God. To do what? To serve him. Amen. Here is the mark of true Christianity. This one turns from his sin and is from his idolatry to serve Jesus Christ. I love it. Oh, that's a beautiful, beautiful portrait right there of what it means to turn your feet from your own ways to God's ways. Thirdly, in this threefold formula, he acted without delay. Back in our text, look at verse 60. I made haste. That means going fast. And delayed not to keep thy commandments. Now, beloved, when God's Spirit convicts us of sin, we must not hesitate or put off turning to him from that sin. Why? Listen, delayed obedience is disobedience. Yeah. Say, yeah, you know I shouldn't smoke that pot, or I know I shouldn't drink that alcohol, but next week, I'll change that next week. That's exactly what the devil wants you to do. Put it off. Put it off. Wait. Don't do it now. The Bible says now is the time, the day of salvation. You don't know if the Holy Spirit will still be drawing you tomorrow or next week. We must strike while the iron is hot, beloved, before it grows cold. Go to Psalm 95. In Psalm 95, he's going to show you what happened to the children of Israel in the wilderness when they delayed their obedience. In Psalm 95, look at verse number 7. Powerful stuff here. For he is our God. So he's talking about God's people, right? He is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Today, oh, I love that. Not tomorrow, not next month. Today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your heart, as in the provocation, and as in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works. 40 years long was I grieved with this generation, and said, it is a people that do err in their heart, and they have not known my ways, unto whom I swear in my wrath that they should not enter into my rest. Why did those disobedient Israelites fail to make it into the promised land? Because of disobedience. They failed to repent and obey the Lord. They could have had it. The milk and honey, the fruitful valleys, everything that Israel promised, but they disobeyed God and they failed to make it. Fourthly, observe the contrast between two different groups of people in verse 61. Psalm 119, look at the contrast we have between two differing groups of people. Verse 61, David says, the bands of the wicked have robbed me, but I have not forgotten thy law. Now, there's two groups of people here. First, there is the bands of the wicked, verse 61. Notice the confederacy of wicked people. They like to band together. They strengthen one another in their evil paths. Saul, Absalom, the Amalekites, the Philistines, they all trooped themselves together in order to carry out their evil deeds against David. Bands of the wicked. You know what, folks? The world out there, you and I are no match for it. That's why the Bible says, come out from among them and be separate. It's infectious, man. It's contagious. And they want to contaminate you. And they do it in bands of wickedness. Hey, come on over here to our nightclub. Have a few drinks. It won't hurt you. Hey, come on over here and watch this R-rated movie. It won't hurt you. Listen, folks. This is very important because here in verse 61, David points to the bands of the wicked and says, they took something from me. Notice that? The wording? They robbed me. Now, what did they rob him of? David didn't care about the gold and silver in the treasuries of the king, of the court. They robbed him when they exiled him from his kingship, from his going to temple and worshiping God with the people of God. That's what grieved the king so much. You know what the world wants to do? It wants to rob you. It wants to take away your joy. The devil wants to take away your peace. The devil doesn't want you in this church. He wants you out there, entangled in a web of deceit. Now, Here we see clearly that the bands of the wicked love to hang out together. They strengthen one another in their evil paths. And Jesus said, lay not up for yourselves treasures on earth where thieves break through and what? Steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither thieves nor moths do corrupt nor rust. Secondly, there's another group in verse 61. There is another group who, like David, loved God's word. Look at verse 61. The bands of the wicked have robbed me, but I, contrast, I have not forgotten thy law. Now, we had a guy back in New York. I was in Bible college and our home church up there in New York. And this fella, he was a faithful man. He was a deacon of the church and good man. Paul, you remember Brother Paul. They came to church one night and they got home. Their house was cleaned up. They took their stereo. They took their TV. The neighbors were watching them. They were a confederacy against this family, this Christian family. They throw eggs at their house. They do all these things, but they knew. They carried that King James Bible. They went to church three times a week, and they hated them. You know what they did? They robbed that poor guy. You know what he did? He came to church that Sunday, and he gave a testimony and praised God. Praised God for allowing him to be robbed. He said, I didn't lose a wink of sleep. I slept like a baby that night because maybe they needed it more than me. I don't know. But folks, that world out there wants to rob you. They want to take what you got, and you got Jesus. They can't. Now, David represents a second group of people, a group of people who love God and his word and his people. And what the wicked do won't bother them. Water off a duck's back. It won't bother them because they're loving God. Fifthly tonight, observe David's heart of gratitude. Verse 62. At midnight, I will rise to give what?
Thanks
unto thee, Lord, because of thy righteous judgments. Now, folks, listen. Public worship is wonderful. I love public worship. And it does not excuse us from secret worship. Amen? It's one thing to come here with the saints and we're all fired up and we grab our hymnals and we praise the Lord. But what about your prayer closet? What about your private time with the Lord? Are you doing that at home? You know what I tell people? And someone they're down, they're feeling depressed. I always tell the same thing. I say, go home, lock your door, take the phone off the hook. Put in your favorite worship tape, your worship CD, and begin to praise him. And sing to the Lord. And I said, by the time you get done, you'll be feeling on cloud nine. Those little problems that were troubling you will be gone. Why? Because you're worshiping God at home, just you and him. He wants you to do that. He wants you. Isn't that amazing? The likes of us, Timmy. But yet he wants private time with Timmy in worship, in intimacy. Spiritually speaking, that's a beautiful thing. I love that. And here we find David's heart of gratitude. Look at it, verse 62. At midnight I will rise to give thanks unto thee because of thy righteous judgments. Now, someone read us verse 54. 54. Oh, I love that verse. David says, Lord, your words are my songs in my house of my pilgrimage. That book will sing to you, to your spirit. That is sixthly, quickly. Notice David's love for God's people. 63. Verse 63. David says, I am a what?
Companion.
Of all them that fear thee, and of them that keep thy precepts. Now, clearly the psalmist truly loved all of them that loved his God. Amen. I love you all. Because you love my God so much. It causes me to love you. Two things he says about this love for God's people. First, he shows us why he loved them. Look at verse 63. Verse 63. I am a companion of all them that fear thee and them that keep thy precepts. For two reasons David loved them. One, because they feared God. Amen. The world out there doesn't fear him. I fear for them. The way they're living. Because he's coming back. Number one, because they feared God. Number two, because they kept his word. You got to love somebody who fears God and keeps his commandments. Like Solomon said in Ecclesiastes chapter 12 in the final verse. Amen? You just got to love a guy like that or a gal like that. Folks, I don't know about you, but I want to surround myself with those who fear God and keep his commandments. You know what the problem with the White House is? Listen to me. I put my finger right on the nail of the problem. Our president is surrounded with evil people. Evil. They believe in baby murder. They believe in homosexual marriage. So does he. But he has surrounded himself with ungodliness. And you will become like those you hang with. That's why it's so dangerous. But secondly, observe how he showed his love to them. Verse 63. I am a companion. Companion. Accompanion of all them that fear thee. Now, the Hebrew word here for companion is chaber. Chaber means united to, associated with. Amen? We are united and we are associated together in a common cause, the Lord Jesus Christ. It also means being knit together. I like that. You ladies that knit, you know exactly what he's saying. Song of Solomon. Quickly, go to Song of Solomon. Just after the book of Ecclesiastes and just prior to Isaiah, you'll find the Song of Solomon. It's a love story. Amen. Watch what he says. Chapter 1, look at verse 7. Now, this is a love story between a king and his queen, his bride. Anybody know about a king and a queen, his bride today? Oh yeah, we all do. Tell me, O thou whom my soul loveth, where thou feedest, where thou makest thy flock to rest at noon. For why should I be as one that turneth aside by the flocks of thy companions? It says, I want to be one of your companions, Lord, O King. I want to be with those who are your companions. Chapter 8 of Song of Solomon. Look with me at verse 13. Good stuff here. Verse 13. Thou that dwellest in the gardens. It's the Lord. The companions hearken to thy what? Voice. We all listen to the same voice of our King. Cause me to hear it. This is so good. He says, the companions love to hear thy voice, O Lord. Seventhly, David points to the universal goodness of God. Verse 64. Look at it. The universal goodness of God. 64. The earth, O Lord, is full of thy mercy. Do you realize, church, tonight, how good God is to all people and all creatures of planet Earth? Listen, nobody eats unless he says so. Do you know what that means? That means God provides the food those creatures in the forest eat and the food that you eat at dinner table. God says if you eat. God says if you take your next breath and continue to live and your heart continue to beat. Wow. He's a good God to all people, though they don't know it. This truth boggles my mind. G-I-G-A-T-T. What's it stand for? All the time. All the time. Amen. Go to Psalm 145. Somebody read us verse 9. All the time. He's good to all people and animals. Verse 9. The Lord is good to how many? All. And his tender mercies are over all of his words. He's good to all. I don't care if who it is. He's good to all. Matthew 5. Somebody read us verse 45. Matthew 5, just about done here. Verse 45. That ye, Jesus, words in red, that ye may be the children of your Father, which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the, who?
Evil.
The evil, yep. And on the good. He sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. You know what that's telling me? God is blessing them while they shake their fist in his face and say, we don't want nothing to do with you. Wow! What a great God we serve. He's good to all. But finally, tonight, considering God's goodness to all, David prays for him to be good to him. Amen? Look at verse 64. We'll finish up. Verse 64. And he says in verse 64, the earth, O Lord, is full of thy mercy. Teach me thy statutes. Now, David, in closing, is saying, Lord, thou feedest the young ravens that cry unto thee with food proper for them. And wilt thou not feed me with spiritual food, the bread of life which my soul needs and craves? Yes, he will. David says, Lord, be good to me and show me what your word means. Teach me thy statutes. Beloved, yes, indeed. Surely he that will not let his birds go unfed will not let his children be untaught. Amen. You know what God wants? He wants to teach you his word. He wants to show you deep and mighty things which thou knowest not. And he will by his Holy Spirit if you ask him. David is praying in closing. Lord, please teach me thy statute. I want deep spiritual insight into the word of God. I want to know it. And I want to share it with someone. Pray, Lord, teach me thy statutes. And he will. Father, thank you so much for this incredible section of Cheth. Lord, it just gets better and better all the time. But one thing, Lord, I want to thank you for. Godly companions. Lord, there's a whole bunch of them in this church tonight. Godly companions. We don't need the companions of the world, who are the companions of the devil, who walk according to the beat of the drum of the world. We need the companions of God's people. We need the companions of the godly. Those who will steer us in right paths. Those who will steer us in obedient walks with God. And we thank you, Lord, that we've got them because you've brought us together. We love you tonight, Lord, and we thank you for the verses in Jesus Christ's name. The people said, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's grab our hymnals, folks. And let's open them. We'll stand for our final hymn tonight. 171. I'm so glad these Wednesday night messages are going on YouTube now. So we have a larger listening audience than we can perceive with the eye.
Maybe you can stop the war.
Yeah. If everybody in the world got saved, there'd be no wars. Wow. Except the spiritual war.
We wouldn't need government.
Yeah. All three. Wouldn't that be a blessing? We wouldn't have to worry about who wins the presidential election. Oh, yes. Sorry. 171 is the next hymn. There we go. Lily of the Valley.
I have found a friend in Jesus. He's everything to me. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. The lily of the valley, in him alone I see all I need to cleanse and make me fully whole. When sorrow is my comfort and trouble he's my stay, he tells me every care on him to roll.
Hallelujah!
He's the lily morning star, he's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul.
Oh, all my grief has taken and all my sorrows borne. Thank you, Lord. Tempting, he's my strong and mighty tower. Yes, he is. I have all for him forsaken and all my idols torn from my heart, and now he keeps me by his power. The sorrow, he's my comfort. Trouble, he's my stay. He tells me every care on him to roll.
Hallelujah!
He's the lily of the valley, the bright and the morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. He will never, never leave me, nor yet forsake me here. While I live by faith and do his blessed will. Oh, what a fire about me, I've nothing now to fear. With this man of he, my hungry soul shall feel. In sorrow he's my comfort, in trouble he's my stay. He tells me every care on him to roll. He's a lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. Praise the Lord. Add Marion to your prayer list tonight, Marion. Brother Dave, please dismiss us in prayer.
Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight for your word.
Yes.
Please continue to show us all that you have for us and get us home safely tonight and back on Sunday. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.